Good morning, afternoon, evening, or whatever time you are listening to this podcast. Welcome back to the Don't Risk It, Secure It podcast. I am your host, Elisa Bibilonia. So joined with me for this episode is Ryan Sanders, who is our practice leader VCISO here at 24x7. Ryan, feel free to introduce yourself.
Yes, thank you for having me. I'm Ryan Sanders. I'm the practice leader for virtual CISO. Here at 24x7 Security. I've been in healthcare IT for about 23 years. I've worked for some large organizations like HCA Healthcare. I've been in security specifically for about the last 10 years. So I'm excited to be here.
Awesome, awesome. And we're excited to have you. You're a real expert. So it's great that we have you on our team and that we have you for this episode. So obviously, in today's episode, we are going to be talking about VCISO. And for those of you who don't know, VCISO does stand for a Virtual Chief Information Security Officer. So Ryan, do you mind just elaborating a little more on that, giving us more of a general background?
Sure. So in today's climate, I think everyone knows the talent shortage and the demand that is in healthcare cybersecurity right now.
Right.
So when you have that type of situation, it creates problems for finding, recruiting, hiring, and retaining talent. So what you have to do, it also drives the price of that talent up. So sometimes you have to look at doing something as a service, much in the same sense that we do other technologies and services, such as, you know, SIM monitoring. It makes a lot more sense to do SIM monitoring as a service versus standing up a SOC for yourself. It's a lot more economical. So we've had to sort of change our mindset a little bit about the CISO role, right? So, and some organizations cannot afford that, you know, $250,000 employee. So they have to search out other alternatives. And one of those alternatives is a virtual CISO, right? So basically, it gives you the opportunity to get that function done at a much smaller cost, but yet you're still getting the work done. And you don't have the burden of trying to find and retain talent. You're able to, you're guaranteed to get the work done. And you know, in our model, it's, you know, a fixed fee, so you don't have to stress about, well, I'm going to get a bill for 10 hours this month and, you know, 40 hours next month. It allows you to budget for the cost, and you get access to premium talent that you otherwise would not be able to afford or find. So it works out well for our clients.
That's awesome. Yeah, it definitely seems like a win-win situation, which is ideally what's best for organizations and good for everybody. Everybody wins there. So that's awesome. So I do want to ask a little bit about your experience. I know you mentioned that you've had a lot of experience in healthcare IT. Just if you can give us more of a background on your experience in terms of VCISO, things that you've seen, anything that you'd want to share.
Sure. So I've been a VCISO for about 5 years. And what I've found is the model works really well for the clients. So most healthcare organizations, they're understaffed, they're overworked, and security sort of takes a back seat as far as working on the maturity and advancing the program. Right. So it's more of a reactive posture than a proactive posture. So something has to happen to get the focus, right? So what this service allows is you always have someone focused on your security and governance program in advancing the posture and the maturity level and the compliance level. while you're busy doing day-to-day operations and whatnot. So it sort of gives you that peace of mind that, hey, someone's focused on moving the ball forward, so to say, for our security and governance program. So that's one big thing that that I've seen. And you also get access to other technical resources. You don't just get the CISO, right? So you get mm-hmm. the team behind the CISO. So you really get multiple talent, multiple employees, you know, within this package. So let's just say you don't have the staff or the expertise to write your procedures for your policies. You know, we can provide that. If you don't have, some facilities don't have the budget to hire engineers. So if you have, your infrastructure questions or whatnot, we can help with that. So there's lots of different problems we can solve and help you combat throughout this program. So it gives you a multifaceted approach to different problems that arise within IT security in the environment.
That's awesome. Another thing that I want to ask, so you've mentioned all these great benefits and how overall it's just such a great program, and I completely agree just hearing everything that you're mentioning and your experience. So from the experience that you've seen or things that you've experienced, from that, what would you advise people to look out for in terms of cybersecurity and overall security, healthcare security, however you want to go about it?
Well, there's several things. Security is not something that you can just throw technology and money at and mm-hmm. take care of it, right? So you've got to be sound in IT security fundamentals. Really a well-rounded security and governance program is probably about 75% administrative controls, policies, procedures, governance, and about 25% technical controls. So you have to be sound in those other disciplines. Technology is not going to fix it if you don't have the foundation of the policies and procedures and governance and the fundamentals to support the technology. So it's important to have a well-rounded program. You can't be heavy into technology and not have the fundamentals to back it up. So that's one thing. Keeping security at the forefront of your end users' mind, because at the end of the day, they are your last line of defense. Mm-hmm. So don't underestimate the value of security and awareness training, because the technology is just not there yet to catch everything. An email with bad intentions can look legitimate.
Yeah, for sure.
It can check all the boxes that, the AI is only so good. So an illegitimate email can get through, and you are dependent on the end user to make the proper decision about to click or not to click. So that's extremely important. Too many times I've seen, security awareness and training be one of the first things to get cut from the budget when things, when budgets have to be, shrunken, reduced. That's one of the first things to go. And it's a shame because that, like I say, that's your last line of defense.
Right. And especially in healthcare organizations, there's so much patient information, right? There's so many identifiable things that if there isn't that proper training, that could get lost, and then you don't know who has it just by a stupid phishing email, right? So it's definitely important that is something that's not taken out of the budget. And thinking about it now, I didn't even know that was something that they would budget so much. I didn't even know that. So thanks for giving awareness on that, because that is, I find that crazy now working in cybersecurity and learning so much that people would, that would be out of budget. You know what I mean?
Right. This is an ongoing battle. This is going to be a never ending, security is a never ending battle. You will never reach the pinnacle where you can say, okay, I'm done. It's just, it's ongoing. And that includes the training, because as we become aware of issues, whether that be vulnerabilities, you know, we patch that vulnerability, the bad actors just find another one. And then we patch that one and they find another one. And the
hackers are only getting smarter.
Right.
And they're at it all the time. Hackers aren't like, okay, I'm done for the day. I'm over it. You know, they're not stopping.
They don't sleep.
Which is why we're 24/7 security.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. And, you know, the same goes for the social engineering, the phishing, things of that nature. They are getting to where it's really hard even for professionals to spot, the fakes. They are mm-hmm. getting so good. It is hard. Another thing is, you know, if you are, and this is one, and I'm, it's near and dear to my heart because I've worked several incident response situations where this was the issue. If you are running Microsoft Office 365
uh-huh.
without multi-factor authentication, that's a problem. You are asking to be exploited. So it's one of the very few situations where a technical control can give you certainty of resolving the issue, but MFA does that, multi-factor authentication does that for the issues with Office 365. I've had a couple of situations where clients did not have it, they were budgeting for it, did not have it implemented, and were compromised. One of those situations, employees' payrolls were rerouted because they had the same password for ADP as their login credentials. And so they just went right in, changed their payroll account, the direct deposit account. And they also set up a rule in Outlook for all communication from ADP to go to junk. So the user didn't see it until it was almost too late. Another instance, the CEO's email was compromised.
Oh my goodness.
And the bad actors got a hold of a legitimate invoice. They spun up a domain that was just one letter off from the vendor, sent an email from accounts payable with the correct invoice number and amount. And that invoice was paid to the erroneous account to the tune of about $90,000, and it wasn't caught for several months. So the money was long gone. And the sad part about it was it was only going to cost the client like $65,000 to get multi-factor authentication. So not only did they throw $90,000 out the window, they had to turn around and immediately buy MFA. But those are some situations. Those are not made up. Those are real situations that I've worked. So this isn't something I read. This is something I lived.
It's real, people.
Yeah. So the last thing that I would say as far as things to keep an eye on is your business associates and vendor accounts. You should audit those and the vendors and the appropriate access for the accounts, because two of the last incidents I've worked, that was the entry point, was vendor accounts. So make sure that you're keeping a good eye on that. And also, business associate and vendor audits, mm-hmm. you know, that the risk rating for that control has been elevated to a high. It used to be a moderate if you didn't audit your BAs and vendors. But now that is been escalated to a high in mm-hmm. as far as the criticality and severity ranking. So something to keep an eye on as you're thinking about you know, security initiatives. That's definitely one that is only going to grow. It's already at the highest severity, but those are the entry points mm-hmm. that's being exploited that I've seen as of late. So for what it's worth, that's something to keep an eye on as well.
Wow. Yeah. Everything that you've mentioned, I think would be very beneficial for those who aren't aware, because a lot of times these incidents happen because people aren't aware. So it's great that we're talking about this and bringing this to the forefront. And we can pretty much end it here. So Ryan, thank you so much for joining me this episode and sharing your experiences with us. And thank you to the listeners of the Don't Risk It, Secure It podcast. And for more updates on the podcast, make sure to check out all of our social media so you don't miss an episode. And remember, don't risk it, secure it. Thanks so much.
Thank you.